In a March 17, 2003 address to the nation and the world, President George W. Bush announced that he had ordered U.S. forces to launch America's long-anticipated war against Iraq. Live TV images of U.S. missiles exploding across the Baghdad skyline signaled the first phase of a war that its supporters predicted would last only a few weeks or maybe 6 months. But the relative ease with which U.S. troops invaded and then took control of Iraq's major cities was deceptive, given that America's so-called liberation of Iraq would trigger years of civil war that claimed the lives of up to 122,000 Iraqi civilians, 4,487 Americans with more than 32,000 wounded, many of them suffering lost limbs and lifelong disabilities. When the last U.S. combat troops withdrew from Iraq in December 2011, they left behind a shattered nation, still afflicted by daily sectarian violence, and millions of internal and external refugees. The war was launched in the wake of the 9/11 attacks in an environment of anger and fear. Playing on the American people's dread of another terrorist attack, the Bush administration justified its war against Saddam Hussein, claiming the dictator played a role in the September 11th attacks and possessed weapons of mass destruction which posed a grave threat to the U.S., claims which later proved to be false. Your reporter spoke with Ray McGovern, a retired 27-year veteran CIA officer who had briefed Presidents Reagan and George H.W. Bush before retiring in 1990. Here, McGovern, who famously in 2006 challenged Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld over the administration's deceit about weapons of mass destruction, reflects on the legacy of the Iraq War and the lack of accountability for the Bush administration's war architects.
Long story short, after a 5-year investigation, the head of the Senate Intelligence Committee, Jay Rockefeller, releasing a bipartisan report about pre-war intelligence justifying the war in Iraq. It was a bipartisan report because Chuck Hagel and Olympia Snow signed on to it. What Rockefeller said is that the intelligence that was adduced to justify the war in Iraq was, quote, uncorroborated, contradicted, or even non-existent, period, end quote. Now I ask you, Scott, what does non-existent intelligence look like? Well, I'll tell you. Looks like forgeries, looks like made-up stories, looks like the stuff that Cheney and his minions prepared so that they could deceive the world and our Congress. And that's what really got me. I have this thing about our Constitution, okay? And I actually, like so many millions of others in this country, I took a solemn oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And, you know, when I saw, as we watched 10 years ago, 11 years ago, the profession of intelligence analysis being corrupted for the express purpose of deceiving our elected representatives out of their constitutional duty, their constitutional prerogative to declare or otherwise authorize war, it doesn't get any worse than that.
I'm reflecting about the motivation for the war in Iraq. Obviously, we have knowledge now that the stated reasons at the time, weapons of mass destruction, links with al-Qaeda, Iraq's intention to attack the United States was all out of nonsense. What do you think the real motivation in the Bush administration was to begin this horrendous, very costly war?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Early on, I came on an acronym, okay? The acronym is OIL. Now, John Stewart made great fun of me after I used that for the first time before Congress. He said, McGovern, you're violating the rules for acronyms. You can't have an acronym, the first letter of which spells out what you really mean, McGovern. That's not fair. That's violating the rules. Well, I felt great about that because he was making the point that the most important was the first letter, O for oil, I for Israel, and L for logistics, the permanent military bases that we hope to emplace in Iraq forever and ever. You know, we didn't talk about permanent military bases. We talked about enduring military bases. Okay, that's, you know, sounded a little bit more endearing, I suppose. Anyhow, those were the three aims. Now, there are people who say, no, it wasn't about oil. I just don't have any patience with them. The Middle East wouldn't be important if it wasn't for oil and natural gas and water and that kind of thing. Israel? Well, no, the Israelis wanted us to attack Iran. Well, yeah, that's true. But Wolfowitz and Cheney and Rumsfeld said, no, we'll Iraq first because they're the easier one. And the Israelis, of course, applauded that and cheerleaded for that.
There's been no accountability for the Bush administration that began this very tragic war, tragic chapter in our history. What should happen in terms of accountability for the men, the architects of this war?
Well, ideally, they should be brought before The Hague because some of the actions taken were demonstrably war crimes. Now, George Bush decided not to sign on to the International Criminal Court. And so that's apparently not a not an option. I think what citizens should do is what my friends are doing down in Dallas as they prepare for the opening of the Bush, well, they're calling it the Bush Library. It's really the Bush Library. They're going to get up and they're going to educate everyone in Dallas that they can as to what really happened. And meanwhile, we just have to keep the faith here and try to get the truth out. And with the Fifth Estate, with the web and with the Internet, there's a good chance that we can make an impact and console ourselves for the present with the thought, the real thought, that poor Bush, poor Rumsfeld, they can't even travel to Europe without being afraid of being picked up, imprisoned, and prosecuted for war crimes. Rumsfeld had to hightail it out of Paris 4 years ago when they found he was there. Bush had to cancel a trip to Geneva just 2 years ago when it was very clear that he was going to be prosecuted if he set foot in Europe. So there's small solace in that. It's terribly embarrassing to have a former president of the United States unable to travel to Europe. But at least those parts of Europe seem to have more sense of justice in the fact that people should be held accountable for the crimes that they commit.
That was Ray McGovern, a retired 27-year veteran CIA officer who later founded the group Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity. Visit our Between the Lines website, where you can find links to McGovern's recent articles on the Iraq War and other foreign policy issues.